Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We hope that you enjoy this message, that it'll soften your heart and lead you to ride with Christ.
Well, again, I want to welcome you to our Memorial Day service here at Thousand Hills. Memorial Day is something that I know that I think a lot of you probably have felt Memorial Day was a service or a day that we celebrate. But I want to enlighten you on a few things that I've been enlightened on. We have a great partnership with a gal by the name of Debbie Lee. Many of you guys have maybe heard her speak here at our church, but Debbie Lee is the mother of Mark Lee, which was, he was the first Navy SEAL to be killed in the war in Iraq. And so he was partners with Chris Kyle and on that team and all of that. But as Debbie came and spoke at our church a few times, she really helped me figure out what Memorial Day was about. I think a lot of times with good intentions, we come and we want to celebrate Memorial Day. But as I've learned, celebrating someone dying, celebrating someone giving their life is probably not the best way to approach it. And so on the 100, today is actually the, or tomorrow is actually the 150th anniversary of Memorial Day. And what I want you to understand so that you can kind of, again, be enlightened and be able to honor those that have given their life is Memorial Day isn't, it's not a time of celebration. It's not a time that we're, you know, where we say happy Memorial Day. As I've learned from Debbie, that is offensive. That is kind of a, you know, not something that you want to maybe share. And again, this is new for me and it's new for you, so I hope you'll get some out of it. But it's actually a time where we reflect and we remember and we salute and we honor those who gave their lives. We have a Veterans Day. Veterans Day is where we recognize those that have served, that are still alive, and those that are serving and their families. But on Memorial Day, we come to honor those who have shed their blood so that we could be here and live in freedom. And so I want you to know that we support America's Mighty Warriors is an organization that Debbie Lee started to remember the lives that have been lost for our freedom. And so each month, your generosity to our church, we're able to give to that that organization so that we can help those families, you know, be remembered. And so one of the cool things they do with America's Mighty Warriors is they have a retreat for all the families, the Gold Star moms, Gold Star families, and they honor those wives or those husbands that have lost a loved one in war. And so today, I want you to have a great time. I want you to remember, you know, just remember what the Lord has done. But at the same time, I want to take a moment for us to reflect and honor and salute those that have given their lives, and we want to show our gratitude to them. And so I want to ask you to stand real quick. As I prepared this, I wanted to honor, you know, those that have fallen through a word of prayer, but I also want to say the Pledge of Allegiance here in just a minute as well. And if you'll leave today, as you leave today, we have a backdrop set up out there, and we have a sign that you can hold up that has that logo on it. And I would ask you to take a picture with it. And again, you can smile if you want to, but we want to remember. And I would ask that you would post that picture on your social media and just put something, again, honorable, something like we salute and we remember. Because that's what honors those that have lost loved ones and have shed their blood. And so I want to have a word of prayer. Lord, I come to you today, and I just come with gratitude. And Lord, today we honor those that have given their last breath for us. And Lord, I pray today that you would bring comfort to the families that are left behind. I thank you for Debbie Lee. I thank you for her son, Mark. I thank you for all those millions of warriors that have given their lives so that we could find the freedom that we have today. And so, Lord, we praise you for their sacrifice. We thank you for their sacrifice, and we honor them. We salute them, and we do pray that they would always be remembered for the sacrifice that they made. And so, Lord, we may come here and we may have a joyful time today, and that's okay, but I pray that we would always take a moment and remember all that's been done for us. And we just thank you for those that are still fighting, that may lose their life today for our sake. I pray that you would just protect them, that you would, you know, just help them to know that we love them and that we support them. And as we remember people that have given their lives today, may we lift them up in prayer. May we shake somebody's hand or, you know, show somebody some gratitude that maybe has lost a soldier in war. And so, Lord, we honor them today. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Today, I want to continue a series that I've been in for 3 weeks, or this is actually the third week, and it's a series called Unconditional. Unconditional, how to love like you've never been hurt. How many of you guys have ever been hurt by someone that you love? Anybody? Everybody should be able to, you know, raise your hand on that. And as we pointed out in the last few weeks, we all have people, again, that's hurt us. Hurt is inevitable. There are people that we love the most that, guess what? They're going to hurt us the most. And here's the other thing that we have to understand. That hurt comes from the devil. He is the one that is our enemy. And so we need to know how to respond to the hurt that is going to happen in our lives. And you say, well, what's the answer? Well, the answer isn't easy, but it's right. It's always right. And you know what it is? It's to love. It's to love. It's to love, and it's to love unconditionally, and it's to love like we've never been hurt. And I know for some of you guys, you're like, man, how many parts is this series? I'm kind of tired of talking about being hurt and all this stuff. And I get weary of teaching things like this because usually, you know, it comes with an illustration in my own life, a personal illustration. And so usually you got to go through something to be able to speak, you know, honestly and openly about it. And I can just tell you from, you know, my experience that is true. But this topic's not a touchy-feely topic, but it is an important topic. I had the pleasure of going to a ranch group, Chris and Jackie DeZort's ranch group last week, and we had a great conversation about how to work through this whole idea of loving people like we've never been hurt. And so I know it's an amazing thing to talk about. It's a hard thing to talk about, but it's a great thing. And so here's what we learned so far. We learned three things. Number one was this: even though you follow the king, which our king is Jesus, you can still get hurt. Amen. A lot of times you're going to get hurt even more because you are loving even more. And the more that you sacrifice for the Lord, the more that you give, the more that you're making a difference, the more that you're probably going to be susceptible to being hurt. And we looked at a story in 2 Samuel chapter 10 about King David. And I want you to, you can go back and listen to it on thousandhillsranch.church. But it talked about a king that sent some ambassadors to honor another king that had died. And these ambassadors, guess what? When they got there, the son of the king that had died, he embarrassed them. He hurt them. He cut half their beards off, you know, and then cut half their robes off so that they were mooning everybody, right? Remember this? And so they were humiliated. They were hurt. But listen, these ambassadors, all they were trying to do is be obedient to the king, but they still got hurt. And so the same is true for us. When we're serving the Lord, we're still going to get hurt. You're not immune from that. But here's the cool thing about God. He covers our butts. That was number two. The king covers our butts. Just like he did in that story, he sent the ambassadors to go to Jericho so that their beards could grow back, so that they could find a seamstress to sew the robes back on, and so that they could heal. God is there to heal us when we get hurt. Amen? Is that a cool thing? I love it. I love having God in my life. I don't know how people do it without him, because they get hurt and then again, they may just fall into that bitterness trap and all that other stuff. But so even though we're, you know, following the king, which is Jesus, you're still going to get hurt. And then he covers our butts. He comforts us. And number three, we learn when we get hurt, we have to stop keeping record and start losing count. Remember this? You have to stop keeping record of the many times that you've been hurt, and you have to start losing count of the many times that you've had to forgive them. And go back to listen to that message as well. It's a great message that the Lord spoke that day. But here's our theme verse. Many of you guys have heard this verse. I may have even used it at some of your weddings that I've done. But it's a chapter in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that talks about love. And I want you to listen to it. This is a powerful scripture. And it doesn't just talk about marriage love. It talks about loving, you know, human beings and being, you know, that person. And so listen to it and follow along as I read it. It says this: if I could speak all the languages of earth and all and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be what? You say it. I'd be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Again, anybody need to hear that one? Just picking on you. No, I'm in the same way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs or of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices where the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I think, there's no way. I mean, I can't live up to that. But again, I go back to, that's why you need God in your life. Amen? So that you can love like you've never been hurt. It's tough. It's hard, but it's possible. And so today I want to focus our time on the truth found in verse 7. Look at it with me again. And you can say the underlined words with me. Love what? It never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. So here's point number four, and here's where we're going to go today, and I'm going to be finished. Get you guys out of here for that Memorial Day lunch. Here's number four. Love never gives up. I recently have learned this. When things don't go our way, When we don't like something, when we don't understand something, the easiest thing that we can do is quit. I mean, think about it. I mean, times get hard, and the easiest thing that I could do is say, I'm done. I'm out. I'm not going to do this anymore, right? When someone hurts you, you just, you know, sometimes we just write them off. We just say, okay, we're done. We're going to quit. When your kid, and my kids are fixing to reach teenage years, and it may be a little more, a battle or whatever, but when your child or your kid chooses to walk a path that doesn't please you and doesn't please God, you know, a lot of times people leave them, and they say, hey, you know, you've chosen that bed to lay in. Now you get to lay in it. And again, but here's what Scripture says, and I want you to, and this is going to maybe change your mindset a little bit. It's changed mine for sure, but Scripture says when we love someone, we don't give up on them. Amen? Yeah. Now, again, you know, it's just not biblical, and I'm going to, you know, hopefully be able to, you know, shed light on it today. It's not of God, but here's what I want you to realize, and I know what some of you guys are thinking. Well, last week you said, it's okay to quit people if that relationship is unhealthy. That's not what I said. What I did say was, the Bible teaches that we are to what? Reconcile with people as much as it depends upon us. And then if we need to love them at a distance, it's okay. But the part that oftentimes we leave out is actually going to them and reconciling with them, showing the love that God has shown us. And then at the end of that conversation, being able to choose and whether we need to distance ourselves from them. So listen, we are all called to reconcile. Walking away, you know, without explanation, without an attempt for reconciliation is not God's desire. It's not his wish. We are called to love. We are called to forgive. We are called to reconcile. And then if distance needs to happen, again, it's okay. And you say, well, why? Why should I not give up on those people that have hurt me? Well, here's number one. I'll give you three key thoughts and I'm done. You ready? God never quits us. I mean, we're supposed to be like God, right? I mean, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're supposed to imitate Christ and we're supposed to love people like he did. But here's the thing you have to realize. God never quit me. He's never given up on me. I hurt him all the time. I get to, you know, I sin. I do things wrong all the time. But he's never quit me. Listen to Lamentations 3:22 about God. It says, the faithful love of the Lord never what? It never ends. His mercies never cease. I don't know if you need to hear that today, even in your own life, but his love for you never ends. And his mercies never cease. So no matter what you've done, no matter what somebody else has done, our love should be unfailing. It should be unconditional. And so I'll give you the greatest example of this, and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ was the greatest example of this. I mean, Jesus, you know, he had a bunch of disciples, right? He had 12 of them. And in the story, I'll read the rest of the story in just a second, but I'll set it up by saying this. A crowd of men with swords and clubs were coming to arrest Jesus, right? This is right before the crucifixion. They get there, and I love Peter because Peter was, he had an authority issue, and I kind of do too. But anyways, Peter grabs his sword, right? He grabs his sword in the Bible, and he, I think, was going to cut one of these guys' heads off, and he missed and cut his ear off. Remember this story? Well, Jesus said, hey, put your sword away, Peter. What the crap? You know? I mean, he may not have said it like that, but that's layman's terms. But anyways, he said, put your sword away. He picked up the guy's ear and healed his ear. But then, listen. Listen to what happened as soon as after that. It says in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus addressed the crowd and he said to the crowd, am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But this all happened to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in Scripture. At that point, listen to this, all the disciples did what? They deserted him and fled. Holy smokes. I mean, did you just hear what happened? I mean, here's the people that were the closest to Jesus, and they desert him in his greatest time of need. And they hurt him. I'm sure it hurt him to watch them walk away, maybe even run away, to get away from being arrested themselves. But here's the thing that we have to reflect on and we have to realize. What was Jesus' response when they hurt him? Guess what it was? Love. I mean, think about it. Later on in the story, Jesus is hanging on a cross and he dies for them. But before he dies, he says this. He says to his father in Luke chapter 22, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I don't think he was just talking about the people that were selling his garments. I think he was talking about the disciples as well. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. How many times have you been hurt by someone who is already bitter, who had a hell of a life, you know, being raised by someone, you know, again, that's left them, maybe, you know, just had a hellhole that they lived in. And because of that, they had this bitter spirit. And again, we don't know people's lives. We don't know what's going on at their homes. But at the end of the day, they don't know what they're doing. A lot of times they're responding in the only way that they've ever seen or heard or whatever, and they don't know what they're doing. And so what should our response be to them? Love. Love turns them around. I've seen it day in and day out. I know a lot of jerks. Anybody? I know a lot of people who I'm just like, I want to punch you in the throat. Did the preacher just say that? Can I get an amen on that, anybody? Come on, see, you guys are just like me. I just want to, you know, punch him in the face. But anyways, what I've learned is this. Instead of responding in anger, instead of responding in you know, something's going to hurt them, if we just respond in love, their defenses go down. At some point, they turn their heart and they say, you're the only one who ever really truly loved me, even though I hurt you a lot, even though I was a jerk a lot. Jesus did the same thing to the disciples. Guess what? After he rose from the dead, guess what he did? He didn't leave those disciples. Guess what he did? He actually went to them. They were the first ones, one of the first ones that he showed his scars to. He went to them and said, hey guys, I know you deserted me, but I'm here. And I want to show you how to live this life for me because I just rose from the dead. And he forgave them. And he said, guess what? Even though you deserted me, I'm going to love you like I've never been hurt. And he used them over and over again. He built this church, the thing called the church, on these men. And he gave them a second chance, and he loved them like he never been hurt. He went to them, and he saw them, and he reconciled with them. And guess what? We should do the same thing. I know this is, again, in your face. I know it's in my face. But we should do the same thing that Jesus did. We should forgive, not fight. We should reconcile, not retreat. We should communicate, not condemn. And we should love, not leave. Again, some of you need to hear this because you have people in your life that you've quit because they didn't meet your standard of expectations. Listen, God is saying, I want you to love them. I want you to reconcile them. Again, I want you to live at peace with them as much as it depends upon you, because that's what Jesus does for us. God's love never gives up on us. Listen to Psalm 86, 17. It says, but you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with what? Unfailing love and faithfulness. And so why should we not give up on those who hurt us? Because God never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. Number two is this. Love equals sacrifice. Some of you guys are like, this is going to be easy. Heck no. You think it's hard, you know, you think it's easy to love somebody who's hurt you? Heck no. It's not. It takes sacrifice. But listen to the scripture, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must what? He must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, hey, guess what? You're called to deny yourself, and a part of denying yourself is denying yourself the right to quit. Again, I want to quit. I want to walk away. I want to say, forget it. But the Bible says if we're going to follow Jesus, we got to deny ourselves. And you say, what does that look like? Well, again, loving the Lord and loving others takes sacrifice. Listen to this. Some of you guys need to hear this because we live in America and we're comfortable. We sit in our comfortable, you know, seats in church. We drive our comfortable pickups. We live a comfortable lifestyle, all those things. But here's what I want you to realize. If you never sacrifice anything for God, something is wrong. If you've never denied yourself something, something's wrong. Because there's going to be a point in your life where you have to deny yourself if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what am I called to sacrifice? You're called to sacrifice time. So many times we don't go to reconcile people because it's going to take time. We don't have the time. Now listen, we're called to sacrifice time to go do that. What else? We're called to sacrifice energy. I don't know about you, but it exhausts me to go to someone and ask for their forgiveness. It exhausts me to try to work out a relationship. Anybody? Can I get a witness? It's exhausting. I mean, we're called to sacrifice comfort. We're called, you say, I don't want to have a conversation. It could get awkward. Who cares? It's going to be awkward. It's okay. God's called you to sacrifice a little bit. He's called you to sacrifice your emotions. You say, I might get emotional. Who cares? Get emotional. Cry a little bit. Get it out. Reconcile, love, do something. Show that you're alive. Show that you love Jesus. I mean, we're called to sacrifice the easy road. The easy road is to quit. We're called to sacrifice our pride. I have pride in my life. I don't want to give that guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to, you know, let that guy know that I love him because he's hurt me, right? We're called to sacrifice these things all to love people like we've never been hurt. Now, here's the thing. I want to address this because some of you guys are like, well, you're just, all about love and you don't hold anybody accountable. No, listen, we're going to call sin, sin. Amen? If someone does something that's sinful, if they do something that's wrong, if they're living a lifestyle that's wrong, we want to call sin, sin, but we want to do it in love. The Bible says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Are you with me? And so we're going to call sin, sin. I mean, I told you already that I have an authority problem, or I had an authority problem, and I didn't always want to obey my parents. Anybody? Prodigals? Come on, black sheeps. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, we had problems obeying our parents. I even ran away a couple times. because I felt like I could, you know, have a happier life with nothing, which is stupid, right? I'm just like, okay, where am I going to go? What do I have? I got a 10-speed my mom bought at a garage sale. I don't have anything, right? I mean, so I you know, ran away, but the thing about it is my dad and my mom never gave up on me. Amen. They never gave up on me. I remember I was sitting just across the street from the house that I had run away from. I ran real far, about like 30 yards. And I was sitting in a ditch, in a bush. And I was looking at the house, and I see my dad pull the caravan. We had a caravan. Plymouth, I think is what it was. He pulled it out, and he began to drive the streets looking for me. Never gave up. When I met him at the door, I came home. I met him at the door. I'll never forget. The door was locked. He came to the door. He unlocked the door, and I said, I'm here to get my stuff. And he looked at me, and he stopped. He said, hey, I'll give you the clothes you have on, but everything else in this house I bought for you. See ya. And I said, Dad, I'm coming home. Here's the deal. It's okay to call sin, sin. If I'm not obeying my parents, it's okay to say, hey, bud, you're not going to have any privileges. It's okay. That's not, love isn't, you know, just giving in to them because they're crying. No, let them cry a little bit. Amen. That's a little tough love for all you wussified kids and, you know, enabling people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's tough. It's okay, right? I mean, so again, we're going to call sin, sin. Yeah, you know, let's say your daughter, you know, goes out and sleeping around. Your daughter or your son goes out and they're getting drunk and they're doing drugs. And, you know, again, call sin, sin, but then show them love. There's a truth that God shows us, you know, and commands us about. He never commands us to reject them because of their sin. Again, God never does that to us. He never calls us to quit them, you know, because they're living a certain lifestyle that, you know, isn't meeting our standard. Oftentimes, we judge them. We even judge people we don't even know, right? Anybody ever been judged wrongly? We judge people. We disapprove. We refuse to have anything to do with them, and we announce it to the world on social media. Yeah, don't do that, by the way. And here's the sad part about it. We do it sometimes in the name of faith. Oh, we're religious. I can't associate with them anymore because they're living in sin. Again, there's a line, but at the end of the day, we're called to love those who are living in sin. That's one of the coolest things about our church. We have people in our church that have never walked through the doors of a stained glass and a steeple church, a traditional church, which we love the traditional church. But at the end of the day, we have people in here that are sinners just like me. Amen? And we don't just say it on a sign that you belong here, but we believe that you belong here. So many people, they say, you know, you got to believe in Jesus. Then you got to, you know, or you got to, you know, behave before you can come to church. No, listen, we say come to church dirty and God will clean you up. Amen? I have to do it, so you get to do it as well. And so I appreciate our church. I love our church for that. But I want you to remember the scripture that says we can have all the spiritual gifts in the world. But if we don't have love, guess what we have? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so listen to this. You are not compromising your faith when you love. Just because I love somebody who I know is living in sin doesn't mean I am agreeing with the sin that they're living in. I want you to hear this because I want you guys to get out there. And you guys are already out there, but here's what I want you to realize. If you are associating and you're having dinner with, you buy a beer for your neighbor, and you're just associating with them to try to show them the love of Jesus, I applaud you. I applaud you. Amen? Again, so many religious people are like, oh, I can't be seen. Oh, that guy, shoot. I mean, I just can't, you know, go hang out with him. I can't buy that guy lunch. I can't buy that girl lunch. I mean, she's the gossip of the town. I mean, you know, what? Yeah, again, I commend you. I send you out. God sends you out because he came to seek and to save those who are lost, right? We are not here to again, just get, you know, kind of be a Christian corral where we keep our Christian people all in one little corral and go, nobody else is allowed in. No, we should be looking out going, hey, come on in. I want to join hands with you. Hey, come on in. I want to join hands with you. You're welcome here. Why? Because we're all sinners. Again, so we got to realize that if we don't have love, we don't have nothing. Again, love doesn't say, you made your bed, now you lay in it. It doesn't say that. I mean, we want to say that, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, what you did is unforgivable, and until you change, I'm done. It doesn't say that. Love says, I'll never agree with your decision or what you did, but I still love you. That's what it says. You know, to a child or a family member, I'll never aid and abet what you're doing, but you are still mine, and I still love you. Yeah. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand. That's some powerful stuff there. And so love always leaves the door open for conversation and reconciliation. So the second thing, again, quitting's easy, but love takes sacrifice. And here's the last truth, and I'm done. Love that doesn't quit pays off. Proverbs, look at Proverbs 21:21. It says, whoever pursues righteousness and what? Unfailing love will find what? Life, righteousness, and honor. Whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. Listen to this. Those of you that are married, listen, when you don't quit your spouse and you love them and you seek God and you put God first in your marriage, even though they've hurt you, listen, it will pay off. Amen? Some of you guys have not experienced that. You've been divorced or whatever. You know, it's happened bad, all that stuff. Listen, God can redeem that. He can redeem it, and he can make it new. He can forgive, all those things. But at the end of the day, those of you that maybe are in a marriage and you're struggling, listen, God can, he can take it, and he can flip it on its ear, and he can make it all good if you don't quit. Amen? If your brother or your sister, again, they've hurt you bad, listen, God says, hey, don't quit them. It'll pay off if you just love them. Maybe you have a son or a daughter who's estranged to you, or you know, maybe a family member, mom or dad, or whatever it is that's estranged to you, and you've got some distance between them. Listen, don't quit them. Don't quit them. It'll pay off. Maybe you have some friends that, you know, again, you've needed to distance yourself, and again, that's healthy in certain situations, but at the end of the day, you need to reconcile some things with them. You need to not quit them. You need to leave the door open for them to be able to come to you. Again, loving like you've never been hurt will pay off. God promises in that verse, he says, if you will do this, you will have life. I don't know about you, but I want to have life, right? Anybody want to have life? I mean, we want to have life. You say, what does that mean? Well, I've already got life. I'm breathing. No, it means you're going to have a more fulfilling life. If you love people, even though they've hurt you, you're going to have a more fulfilling life. Some of you guys are like, no, if I hold a grudge, I'm going to have a more fulfilling life. Heck no, you're not. You're going to be miserable. You already are. So you're going to have a more fulfilling life. You're going to be free from the burden of bitterness. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. It also says you're going to have righteousness. In other words, you're going to be right with God. Again, some of you guys are here today and you've not reconciled. You've held unforgiveness. You're bitter and it's killing you and you're not right with God. Remember what we talked about last week? I mean, if you want to receive forgiveness, then you have to release forgiveness. You have to give it away. You have to give it to that person who maybe doesn't even deserve it. And so you're gonna find righteousness, and then you're gonna find honor. I don't know about you, but I want to have honor in my life. I want to have God honor my sacrifice. I want to be honored by Him. I want Him to honor my worship of Him. I want Him to honor my prayers and answer my prayers. And it says, if we will pursue unfailing love, we will find these things. We will find them. It'll pay off, right? But here's what I want you to realize. It doesn't say if you perfect unfailing love, then you'll get these things. Listen to that, because so many of you guys have failed at this just like I have. It says if you'll pursue it. In other words, if you've screwed it up, once, try it again. You screwed up again, try it again. Just don't stop pursuing unfailing love. In other words, we must strive for it. We must sacrifice for it, and we must fight for it. We must fight for it. Love fights for relationships. It doesn't give up. Love fights for its church family when the devil attacks us. Amen? Love fights for its marriage. Love fights for its family. Love fights for the kids. We have to love like we've never been hurt, and if we do, it will pay off. It will pay off. I want to leave you with the last scripture, and this has meant a lot to me the past few years. Listen to this scripture. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 38, it says, so do not what? Don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the what? The great reward it brings you. Patient what? Endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive what? All that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who what? Turns away. Love never gives up. It never gives up. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Again, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, we call this time a commitment time. Again, it's a time where we're not going to ask anybody to come to the front. We don't do that. Again, it's not that that's wrong or anything. We just choose not to do it. We want you to be able to make a decision in your heart. Because that's what really matters. And so, again, maybe hopefully today you've realized some things in your life that you need to change. And maybe one of those is you've quit a relationship without reconciling and doing your best to make that relationship right. Listen, God has a better way. God has a better way. And you say, well, how do you know? Because God never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. And so we're supposed to be like him. And so my question is this. Who have you quit without trying to reconcile? Think about that in your mind. Who have you quit without showing love or forgiveness or giving them a second chance? Listen, I hope that that person that comes to your mind right now, I hope that you will ask God, God, give me a heart for that person. Give me forgiveness for that person. Give me love for that person. And give me a right relationship with them. Listen, I know it's hard. I know you're thinking, this is never going to happen, man. I just don't know if I have the strength to do it. That's why you need God. That's why you need Jesus in your life, because none of us can do this on our own. But I'm telling you, if you will do your part and not worry about their response, they may respond with anger and bitterness and all that stuff back to you. They may not even have a clue that you are hurt by them. That's okay. Listen, do your part and God will take care of the results. And so who do you need to love like you've never been hurt? Again, the Bible says we're to pursue unfailing love. Can I just tell you, you'll never regret it. Maybe you just need to make this your prayer of commitment today. And you can just pray this in your heart. You don't have to pray it out loud. But maybe you just need to pray something like this. Jesus, help me to love like I've never been hurt. Lord, forgive me for the ways that I've gone wrong. Forgive me for the things that I've done that were against your will. Forgive me for holding or withholding bitterness and unforgiveness. Lord, heal my heart by allowing me to love like I've never been hurt. Thank you, Lord, for loving me and not giving up on me. Listen, I hope that you prayed that prayer today. Some of you have not quit someone, but someone has quit you. Maybe a spouse quit you. Maybe a mom or a dad quit you. Maybe a friend quit you. Maybe a trusted employee quit you. They didn't fight for the relationship and the love that you have. They didn't fight for reconciliation. They just quit, and it hurt. Can I just tell you this? You need to practice what we talked about last week. You need to stop keeping record and start losing count. In other words, stop keeping record of all the wrongs and all the ways that they've hurt you and start losing count of the times you need to forgive them. You say, how many times am I supposed to forgive them? Well, the Bible says that you're supposed to forgive them as many times as it takes. As many times. And so maybe you're here today and you've been quit by some people. Listen, I hope that you will make that relationship right. Whatever it takes, that you will maybe go to that person and ask for their forgiveness if you've had bitterness or resentment in your own heart, and that you will seek to make that relationship right, even though they hurt you. Again, you can do that only in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's my prayer for you. Seek forgiveness. Seek healing in all those relationships. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus personally. Listen, we are here. We exist. Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched world. And so we're glad you're here. You say, I've never accepted Jesus into my life. We're glad you're here. Guess what? Jesus died on a cross so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have eternal life. And so today, maybe you realize through the power of God, you realize today that you need a relationship with Jesus. Listen, you can have that relationship today. You say, how do I do it? Well, the Bible says if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you say, what do I need to, you know, be saved from? Well, your sin. And so it's a simple thing. Jesus says, confess me as your Lord and Savior. Believe that I rose from the dead and you'll be saved. So maybe you're here today and you need to give your life to Jesus for the very first time in your life. Listen, God wants you to have a right relationship with him. He wants you to have eternal life. And so you just need to do what the scripture says. Maybe you just pray something like this in your heart. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that I've, you know, done things my way. But today, I'm asking for you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Forgive me of my past. I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior, and I give you my life. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. Can I just tell you, you made the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Now you have a relationship with the creator of the world. And now you have a relationship with Jesus. And he can guide you on this ride of life. And so we praise God. We celebrate your decision to follow Christ today. And you say, but what's next? What do I need to do now? Well, now it's time to live for him. And that's why the church exists. So that we can ride with you through your relationship and help you grow in your new relationship with Christ. And so Olivia's going to come here in just a second. She's going to show you how you can connect with our church so that we can glorify God. We can reach those that don't know you, don't know Christ. And so Lord, we just come to you right now, and I just thank you for everybody that's here today. I thank you that they're not here by accident. They came here. They've heard a word from you, I pray, and their lives are going to be changed. And so, Lord, today we celebrate those that have released that unforgiveness and that are going to pursue to have a relationship with those that have hurt them. And so, Lord, help that to happen. Whatever it takes, help them to do whatever it takes. And, Lord, we praise you for those that have given their life to you today. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
We want to thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to this message. If you made a commitment today, you can contact us at thousandhillsranch.church or give us a call at 580-216-6000. 6427. One of our values is we ride to be generous. If you feel led to give, please go to thousandhillsranch.church, click on the Give tab to give your gift today. And remember, at Thousand Hills, you belong before you believe.